And good morning. And we're going to start our message this morning. Abram, man of vision. And what we're going to talk about, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 15. And we're going to talk about how Abram was a man of vision. And for us, this is faith looking beyond our circumstances to God. Abram was a man who fixed his eyes on God against all of the circumstances around him. You know, Abram had a promise from God. He was 75 years old when he, in obedience to the vision that God had given, moved into a new land, and he had a problem. He had a promise of children. He had a promise of a land and a nation. And yet when he moved, he was a stranger. He had to wait 25 years before he saw the promise of God being fulfilled in his life. And the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. And so Abram, against all odds and against all circumstances, demonstrates to us an enduring faith through the long trials. You know, we have short trials in life sometimes, you know, where we're going through things and God answers prayers. You know, when I was a new Christian, it was so exciting. It would seem like I would pray and like almost immediately get an answer for prayer. And I knew God was answering my prayer and I was so excited. But as I started to grow in my faith, the answer seemed to grow longer often. And I remember feeling discouraged. But this was the opposite. This was God teaching me to trust him against all odds. Against all things, God is with us. And I think it's important to see that one of the aspects of Abram's life, being a man of vision, is that you can hang on to the vision, you can hang on to God in the midst of your trials and your circumstances, and know that God is with you, and God will fulfill all that he has intended for your life. Isn't that exciting to know? And so let's take a look and start reading together in Genesis 15:1. It says this: after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. And Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring, I will give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river of Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites and the Canaanites, the Girgashites and the Jebusites. That is why our faith depends on the Lord. Our faith depends on looking to God in the midst of our circumstances. It was amazing. God rewarded Abraham for his faith. And I love what it says, after these things. Sometimes it takes a long time to enter the promise of God. I don't know about you, but God put on my heart years before promises that I believe he gave me about my life that I thought would happen right away. I remember someone gave me a prophetic word. I was so excited that I would be sharing the gospel with other people and seeing people get saved. And I was so excited about that. The next day I went out, found my first sinner, and tried to get him to believe that Jesus Christ. I fell flat on my face. I did a horrible job. And I realized sometimes there's a timing between the promise of God and the fulfillment of God. And that's what we see in the life of Abram. There was a timing difference between what God had promised Abram and the time that he fulfilled it. And we're going to look at Abram this morning and try to understand how Abram applied his faith in his circumstances. You know, Romans chapter 4, verse 16 says this: that is why it depends on faith in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God of whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into the existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised the dead, believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespass and raised for our justification. You see that? He hoped against hope. That's what God put in Abraham's heart. God deposited the faith. God's deposited faith in you. It says this wasn't written about Abraham alone. It was written for you. And our application as we trust in Jesus Christ. You know what the promise of God for your life is? That he who begun a good work will complete it in Christ Jesus. That's the promise of God. It also says that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says that we were created in him for good works. In other words, God has a plan for everyone. If you're born again, God has deposited, just like Abraham, he has a faith. But you might be saying, I can't see any insight. I can't see anything of the promise of God. I don't know what you're going through now. Abraham had a promise of having a child, not just a child, a nation, a destiny. In fact, the promises of God of Abraham were far beyond that Abraham could even see. Do you know that God has something planned for you that's even better than you can see, than what you're going through right now? And this is so wonderful that we look at Abraham's life. We have God's word. Abraham didn't have God's word. He had God, and he was given a very small revelation, a piece of it. He had no idea. But looking back, look at the wonderful revelation that God promised to Abram and how we can, through faith, it wasn't written for Abram alone. It was written also for our sakes. Those of us who believe in Jesus and who have the rebirth, we can appropriate and inherit the promises of God for our lives. I love this one thing. It says, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. In other words, he looked not at the circumstances, because he could have become discouraged. It says, but he believed God. When God promised him, he believed it. It looked impossible. Look at what the scriptures. He was as good as dead, almost. Because in the natural, it was impossible for a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman to have children. But for us today as believers, you may be looking at your circumstances and thinking, how can I ever get over these circumstances? How can I ever get through what I'm going? How could God ever fulfill his promises to God? While we are waiting on the Lord, it's not a time of idleness. It is an opportunity to worship the Lord. It says he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Look to God, not the circumstances, to determine your destiny. God can change your destiny in a moment, a phone call. Anything can change. Now, here's the thing. While we're waiting for God to fulfill his promise, don't be idle. Spend that time choosing to worship and believe God and walk in his promise. Grow stronger. Let your faith grow stronger. Become more determined to trust God in the circumstances. So here's the contrast. If we don't go stronger in faith, we actually grow weaker through unbelief. There's only two options. You can either choose to believe God and grow stronger, or you can choose to grow weaker. Christians I have seen get discouraged, and in their discouragement, they grow weaker in their faith. They find it harder to trust God because they're looking to the natural. Now, I want to tell you, I've been there, so I'm not judging anybody. I'm not saying to you, oh, I've got it all. We're all in this together. We need to encourage one another. But understand, if you're going through a season of discouragement, recognize, grow stronger in faith. And I would recommend the first thing is worship God. Choose to worship God. Thank him in the midst of the circumstances. Thank him that he has a plan. Believe God's word. That's why it's so important. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So get a hold of God's word. Get a hold of a promise. Pray to God and ask him to show you something in his word that you can hang on to, that you can appropriate by faith, even and especially when you don't see it. That's how we grow stronger in faith. He grew stronger in faith and he gave glory to God. Hallelujah. Those who grow weak in their faith through unbelief will be evidenced through fear, anxiety, doubt, and complaining. Now, I'm not blaming someone for having fear and anxiety. That's a natural response. It's what we do with our fear and anxiety. I love what David said. He says, when I am afraid, I will trust in him. Don't be afraid of your fears. Allow that to be a springboard to wake you up saying, I'm going to choose to trust God in spite of how I feel. Remember, you can't necessarily change your feelings, but you can change your response to your feelings. You can choose to trust God. And it's okay to say, I'm afraid. Like, people have a lot of reasons to say, I'm afraid. But you can choose not to abide there. So turn that fear, those circumstances, into an opportunity to trust God and say, I'm going to trust you no matter what. Like Abraham, I'm going to look beyond the trial. You know, I remember going through many trials and thinking to myself, this too shall pass. Trials are only temporary, but what is eternal is the purpose and promise of God. Aren't you glad that God has a plan, that God is with you? I can say that with great confidence. I can say with great confidence because God is with his people and God has a promise for us. So we're going to abide in that promise. Faith is fixed in God no matter what happens to us. Are you glad? Even when you blow it, even when you've trusted in yourself and you've completely blown it, God hasn't said, well, you blew it. That's why it's grace, by the way. It's not our performance, but that's not an excuse to stay in unbelief and complaining. That will hinder our growth. It's an opportunity to repent. That means change your mind, saying, God, I was trusting myself. I'll trust in you. Unbelief is fixed on the circumstances and reacts to what happens to us. Faith says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that's right from the scriptures. Unbelief says, did you bring us into the wilderness to destroy us? That's also from the scriptures, by the way. And that's what the people of Israel did when they came into their circumstances. They just came through and saw 10 amazing miracles of being delivered from Egypt. They saw the Red Sea split. They saw God's mighty provision. And yet they came to that place and they said, did you bring us out here to destroy us? And don't you think the God that has brought you through, look back and look at the circumstances of your life that you've gone through and determine, God didn't bring me this far to drop the ball on me. He didn't. God is going to finish. Have confidence in God even when you cannot see it. Turn to God. Faith says, God, you have a plan even when I don't see it. And I want to tell you something. We only know in part and see in part. When you say, don't think that you need to know everything about what God is going to do in your life before he does it, I guarantee you won't. That's that trust. It's not blind faith. Blind faith is trusting it blindly. We're not trusting blindly. We're trusting a God who we know we can trust, but we don't know how he's going to work it out. And you'll be amazed how, as you trust God, God's going to be with you. And do it. Unbelief blames God and others for the problems. Look at your heart. Let that be. If you start to find yourself complaining, and it's so subtle, it creeps up on you. I know it does on me. And I'm so grateful for people who remind me that I've been struggling with complaining. It's just those little things. They say, are you okay? And all of a sudden, it's a wake-up call to turn to God. And it just reveals that little bit of complaining and unbelief is a revelation of us walking after the flesh. And all we have to do is repent and say, oh, thank you for saying that. I'm so grateful for people in my life that remind me that I need to look to God. Here's what Paul says about fixing on our eyes on Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Isn't that amazing? So we don't look to the things that are seen. Our outer self is being wasting, but our inner self is being renewed. And that's that key. We're renewing ourselves spiritually. That's why it's so important to get into God's word. every day. It is so important to pray. It is so important to refocus and recalibrate our thinking. We watch over our thoughts. We watch over our directions, because that is where the heart is. We want our heart to stay positioned in faith. Faith praises God during the trial. Unbelief complains during the trial. Faith keeps its eyes on the prize. Unbelief keeps its eyes on the temporary. Abraham, it says, did not waver. Unbelief wavers. So as we look at Abram as a man of vision, it was his vision and his ability to keep his eyes fixed on God through the trial that got him through. Now, we're going to see Abraham wasn't perfect. He made mistakes, but his conviction that God was true never wavered. He never stopped believing that God was with him. He did go into the flesh. We'll take a look at that next week, and we do too. By the way, you're going to blow it. You're going to do things. Faith isn't being perfect. Faith is trusting God, and then even through our imperfections, God uses that to reveal it to us. God's the one that's faithful. He doesn't snap his fingers and that we don't sin again. If that's not how faith works. If you've got the wrong view of faith, you'll become very discouraged. Faith doesn't mean that you don't have any problems. We have problems, but the faith says, I'm looking to God in spite of my problems, even beyond myself. You know, I can't even completely trust that I hear 100% from God, because sometimes I thought I've heard from God and it hasn't been God. And that should leave me discouraged, but it doesn't, because we can trust God beyond our ability to even hear from him. We can say, God, I'm going to trust you. I think you said this. And you know how we know we've heard from God? If he brings it to pass. If it doesn't come to pass, he's training us. But we know it's about the heart fixed on God. Faith, by its very nature, is believing without seeing. It says this in Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. So many people, actually, they don't want faith. They want proof. They want to see the proof before they see it. I want to tell you something. There'll be no amount of proof that will ever prove it. I remember someone that I know who was not a believer came to our Alpha, and he had prayed a prayer, and he prayed this prayer. He said, God, if you're real, let these things, X, Y, Z, I won't get into it, happen in a certain way. And so he prayed that prayer, and guess what? It happened. And guess what he says? I think that was a coincidence. You see, he wanted to have God prove himself first, but sometimes faith is believing what we can't see. But it's not believing in something that's untangible, because it's God that way. There is substance. The Bible says faith is the substance of things. So that substance is Christ. It's not that we're asking you to believe and not see anything. We're asking you to believe in something you can't see with your eyes, but is rock solid, and that is the person and work of Christ. There's evidence. There's reason to believe that our faith is real. So faith is not wishy-washy. It's rock solid, but it's in something that we can't prove or materialize. So if people are coming and say, prove it to me, it's the wrong words. But you can't prove atheism. You can't prove there's no God either. Those are two things you actually can't prove, because both of them require faith. And the faith of an atheist is the faith that there's nothing, but there's still faith in a funny sort of a way. So as we look to the faith that moves mountains, I want to clarify this, because often people says, if you had enough faith, you could move the mountain. That's what Jesus said. If you had enough faith, they're really not recognizing that it's not your circumstances. Let me give you an example. If God is in control of all your circumstances, if we've trusted him, we can trust him either he'll move the mountain or he'll do something in you. So, let's say a health problem. And you're believing God for a healing. And this is your mountain. And you've prayed for healing. The healing hasn't come. They say, well, you didn't have enough faith. Actually, the health problem is not the issue. It is something. The issue is the fear. So if I've trusted, it's my response to the problem that's the mountain that needs to be removed, not the circumstances. Leave the circumstances with God. It's our response. So if my response is fear and anxiety and disappointment and depression, that's the mountain I have to move. And if I've chosen to trust God and stay fixed and firm on my belief that God is with me in spite of my circumstances, the mountain's moved. When Howard was dying, and we didn't know if the Lord would heal Howard, we prayed, of course. I think we can always, just so you know, you can come to God with any. He's not going to rebuke you. He's not going to be angry. And it's normal to say, I want my brother to live. I loved my brother. Like, we were best friends. And I mean, but Howard and I both determined, we talked about this, that no matter whether Howard lived or died, that Christ would be glorified. See, that's the issue. That's a faith that can never be moved. You see, if you're looking to something in the natural and it doesn't happen the way you think, you'll think either that you don't have enough faith or you can't trust God. But that's not the faith we're talking about here. The faith that we have about is rooted in God no matter whether we live or die. Paul said that. That's the kind of faith I want you to grip your heart. The faith of Abraham, that was not fixed on his circumstances, because we know one thing, that God who is faithful to you will fulfill all that he has for your life if we trust him. He who begun a good work with what? He will finish it in the day of Christ Jesus. He created you for good works. Aren't you so glad that you can absolutely trust? That's the rock solid faith that's rooted in God and not in circumstances. Howard moved that mountain because he chose to trust God. He never wavered. He never complained once. Now, if you find yourself in circumstances you're complaining, I'm sympathetic. It's okay to be human. What we do, though, is we recognize that we're going to turn and trust in the Lord. You don't have to say you're enjoying what you're going through, by the way. You don't. But you can say, I'm going to choose to trust God in it. There's a difference. I don't think we like things. Suffering is suffering. Suffering is not fun. But what did James say? Count it all joy when you go through different trials. Because knowing that the trial of your faith is more precious than gold, what God is doing in you is of far eternal value that we can't see on this side of eternity, but you're going to reveal it. And that's faith. You're trusting in God to do something that has an eternal value. And I want to tell you something. I'd rather be great in heaven than great on earth. I'd rather be knowing that whatever I've done here, even in hidden things, I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be shocked that the people who God says are great in heaven and who are least in the kingdom of heaven. But even that's not our call here. We don't determine that. But the point of the whole thing is that we look to God. That we look to God and we look to him for our that reward, that we trust him for it. I got a quote here from Nicky Gumbel. It's in his devotional in the 1-Year Bible. And this is what he says. At one point in my life, I developed a tendency to catastrophize, especially about health issues. If I experienced the slightest pain or symptom, I would assume the worst. I was really helped by someone who pointed this out to me and said to the catastrophize means to overestimate the danger and underestimate your ability to cope. Catastrophizing leads to fear and is the opposite of faith. Fear tells you that you will not be able to cope. Faith tells you that your Father in heaven knows when you will need strength to cope. He will supply all you need just in time. God will arm you with the strength that you need for whatever lies ahead. God had given David victory over all his enemies. As David looks back at these battles, he says, you armed me with strength for the battle. These were not the last enemies that David would have to fight. Plenty of battles lay ahead. What you don't know. Like David, what you don't know is which battles lie ahead. However, for most of us, it would probably be very unhelpful to know exactly what the battles will be. What you do know. As the saying goes, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. What David knew was that since God had armed him with strength in the past, he would also do so in the future. You can know that God will supply you with the strength you need it when you need it the most. Isn't that an amazing thought? We often catastrophize. The enemy would love to get you to do two things. Focus on yourself, on your problems, and worry about the future. He says, he uses the term catastrophize. I use the term, I got it from a friend of mine, awfulize. You always think the worst. It's like you're kind of bracing yourself that the worst has to happen. And, you know, that's not faith in God. Faith in God says, I don't know what's going to happen. And it may be the worst. But I know that God has a plan, that he's with me, and he will give me the strength. When does he give you the strength? When you need it. See, God doesn't waste his grace. What did Jesus say? Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Today is the day of salvation. God gives you enough deliverance for today. He gives you strength for today. So take those troubles, give them to God, and abide in him and trust in him that he has a plan. And God will honor that. Why? Because he said he will. He has to. God will strengthen you. Where does he strengthen you? The Bible says in your inner man. So it doesn't mean your circumstance hasn't changed, but grow in faith. Christ dwells in you. You have Almighty God dwelling in you. Now here's the thing. You don't feel it. And that's the beauty of it. That's where real faith comes in. When you don't see it, when you don't feel it. I know there's a worship song you guys sing. I love it. Even when I don't see it, you know, even when I don't feel it. That's especially when faith grabs a hold of God and you determine, I am going to hold on to God because God is with me. It's so important to get a hold of God's word. And Abraham held on to the promise of God because he knew that God was with him. Hebrews 11:6 says this. It says that God is a rewarder of those who seek him. You know, I love this word. What did God say to Abraham? I am your shield and I'm your reward. The shield is God's protection. You know, nothing will happen to your life that can't get through the hands of God. Everything that comes to you. And he says, I'm your shield. I'm your protector. God's not against you. You know, the Bible says God is for us. The Bible says that the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. We need to get the right view of God, that God's not out there to squish us, that God's not there to destroy us or to put us down. The promise of God are yea and amen in Christ. He is our shield. He's our protector. The second thing is he's our reward. And you can read this two ways. In the one translation, it says that God will greatly reward us, which is true. God will. You know, the Bible talks about reward a lot. But he himself is our reward. Think of it this way. No matter what you go through in life, nothing, and if everything was stripped of you, God forbid, God is your reward. Do you delight in God? Do you think of God himself? Think about it. You have a salvation through Jesus Christ. Isn't that the most wonderful thing? Look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 73:25. He says, whom have I in heaven but you, and there is nothing on the earth that I desire besides you. We have heaven to go to. We have eternal life. We've been forgiven of our sins. God is with us. And if you have God, you've got more than anyone else. You are the richest man on the planet. You understand to tap into it, but it's a very intentional looking away from your circumstances if they're bad. This is what Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, God knows your needs. God wants to provide for your needs, but he first wants to know that you seek his face and not his hand. I don't know if you've heard that expression. Seeking God's face means, I want God. And we start off where we're at. We start off where with delight in God. That's why worship is so. Worship is actually enjoying God's presence. Worship is being thankful. Worship is celebrating and enjoying God. That's why it says, rejoice in the Lord. How do you rejoice in the Lord? You keep telling God how much you love him. You're thankful for him. And that's all done by faith. If we're rooted and fixed in God, God will give us that peace and strength to meet the trials and the circumstances. And everything else is secondary. Yes, God's got a plan for your life. If he gives you a great job, if he gives you wonderful children, like everything we have is because God's blessed us. I don't earn anything. It's God's grace. But that's not why I serve God. We serve God for him alone because he's worthy. He's so good. Proclaim his goodness. Enjoy his presence. I'd like to look at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those true faith and patience inherit the promises of God. And so through faith and patience, we can inherit. Just like Abraham, he did not grow sluggish. He waited through faith and patience. Abraham exhibited his faith. He fixed his eyes not on the circumstances, but he fixed his eyes on the Lord, and God was his reward. I just love that idea, that God being our reward. And God's covenant with Abraham was unconditional. You know, when God said to Abraham, he said, I want you to make a sacrifice. I want you to split the sacrifice. And it says that deep sleep came on Abraham, and it says a torch said a torch and a burning furnace went through the two pieces. In the ancient rites of covenant making, what the covenant was is the two parties would take an animal and both would pass through it as a sign that this was a binding covenant and whoever broke the covenant would die, right? If you broke the covenant, that's what would happen to you. That's why it was serious. But only God, represented by that burning torch and furnace, went through the sacrifices. And that showed this was God's unconditional sacrifice. That's why we are sons of Abraham through faith. We're tied into the Abrahamic covenant. If you're born again, the Bible says that you're sons of Abraham through faith. That's why Abraham was such a great and important character in the Bible. We're actually spiritually heirs of Abraham through faith in Christ. So no matter what your background, he says, I'll make you the father of many nations. And we were tied into him. And it was an unconditional. We have an unconditional covenant with God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to close this service by just having a little prayer. If you don't know Jesus Christ personally, I want you to know that you can have the same promises of God through Jesus, through knowing him as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that we are created for him for good works. When we look at the life of Abraham, what he taught us about Abraham, a man of vision, taught us that we can walk through anything in life and come through the other side standing and full of assurance and confidence because, not of us or our abilities, but because of the promise of God and the person of God. I want to invite you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never invited, I want to explain what it is. There's three things. The first thing is we admit that we're sinners. And we can't be good enough to save ourselves. The second thing the Bible says is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And what that means is we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for our sins, and that he rose from the dead. Like Abraham, it is faith, trusting and believing what God has done through Jesus that brings us salvation. But the third thing is where it really matters. We have to appropriate it. We have to turn from our sins and ask him to not only forgive us of our sins, but turn from serving our own way and serving the Lord by choosing to walk in a relationship with him. I'd like to pray a prayer with you right now if you'd like to join me. So wonderful, so important to receive Jesus. You can do this by faith. Don't pray it if you're not ready, you don't want to, or you don't mean it. It won't make any difference. It's not the prayer that saves you. It is faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. Turning to God, turning away from ourselves. I'm going to pray a prayer. You can pray with me or you say amen after the prayer. Pray your own prayer. I'm going to pray right now. Dear God, I know that I'm not good enough. I'm human. I fail. I'm not strong enough or wise enough. I can't save myself. But I thank you that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins, and he rose from the dead. I ask now that you forgive all my sins, and I turn from my sin, and I turn to you, and I receive you, and I ask you, come into my heart, make me brand new, fill me with your spirit, for I commit my life to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this service.